City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are, and thank you for connecting. Happy Wednesday to you on this middle of the week and middle of the month on this 15th day of November, year of our Lord 2017. I know. November's half over. I know. It's seems awfully quick. Anyway, welcome to the program, and we have President Trump is going to be coming to the microphones in a little bit. Supposedly at the bottom of the hour, that's what it's scheduled for, and he's going to make what he describes as a major announcement. Major announcement. So I don't know how major it will be. Apparently, I think it's a trade deal or something that he negotiated when he was overseas. So he got home last night, back to the White House. And so today it's back to business. Back to business he goes. So we're on standby, keeping an eye on the White House, and when he will come to the microphones, we'll bring you there. But I want to start with what we started with yesterday, which had just unveiled itself a few hours before the program, and that was this shooting in Northern California. And it was one more added to the death toll from yesterday. We've got five victims plus the shooter, so six dead, 10 injured, some of them life-threatening. So hopefully they recover from their injuries. But the guy who did this is another part of the story, and the school. We were talking yesterday about the fact that schools, are they really secure? Why don't they have a guard there, somebody with a gun to be able to stop gunmen and all that? Well, the school is getting many accolades today. In fact, the Tehama County Assistant Sheriff Phil Johnston says that the actions of the people at the school, at this elementary school, save the lives of many children.
The quick action of those school officials, there is no doubt in my mind, based on the video that I saw, saved countless lives and children.
Yeah, no, it could have easily been Newtown Times, many more. We have some Newtown news today as well from the Connecticut Supreme Court. But back to California. Apparently, the way the story went down is that the staff at the Rancho Tehama Elementary School, tiny school, the doors were locked and the students were brought inside. This is just as school was starting in the morning. Students were told, get in, and it's described as they hit the floors underneath desks and underneath tables. And apparently this guy tried to open the doors and tried to get in the school, but the school was securely locked. And this whole episode kind of unveiled before the morning classes got underway. In fact, actually, the whole thing goes back to the night before. They're now saying that the shooter in this case shot and killed his wife the previous night and then concealed her body under a floor in his home. Okay, so right there, there's a tip. This guy is not doesn't have all of his mental health there. So that brings the wife's death brings to a total of five victims plus the shooter for six dead. Here's the part where you have to wonder about the way the system works, because the shooter had been out on bail on an assault with a deadly weapons charge from January. All right, here we are in November. So he's been out walking around in the community where he had already been charged with assault with a deadly weapon. And the shooting started yesterday morning in his neighborhood, where he killed a woman neighbor who had a restraining order against him. Oh, well, the restraining order did not do much, did it? It obviously did not help the woman. She's now dead. And he had been arrested and charged in January on suspicion of assaulting her with a deadly weapon. She was the one that they arrested him for back in January. She gets a restraining order. She had to be living the last 10 months absolutely nervous as can be. And sure enough, yesterday morning, he goes over and kills her. Then he stole a pickup truck, went on a rampage in town, shooting at homes and motorists and eventually at the school. And when he arrived at this elementary school, about 2 miles from his home, this was just before classes were to begin, the staff at this school heard the gunfire nearby and began to take action. Doors were locked. Students were rushed inside. They hit the floor underneath desks and tables. So the bad guy, with his stolen pickup truck, they had a locked gate in front of the school. All he did was ram his stolen pickup truck right through the locked gate and walked right into the schoolyard. And he started firing his rifle through the windows and walls of the school. As a result, one of the children was hit by gunfire in stable condition today, and others were hurt by flying glass. But he was at the school wandering around, shooting at the windows, shooting at the walls, trying to get in for 6 minutes. Now, 6 minutes doesn't sound like long, but, yeah, we started this program 6 minutes ago. Goes by fast, unless you're getting shot at. Must have been the longest 6 minutes that poor school, you can't imagine. So, at one point, he shot and severely injured a woman who was driving her three children to school. Woman is being treated for life-threatening injuries. And eventually, two police officers encountered him at an intersection. They returned fire, and he was killed by the police. So a bad man with a gun was stopped by good guys with a gun. So it could have been, if that school wasn't locked down securely, it could have been another Newtown times, who knows? Because, well, let me keep going here, because there was a mother, very gutsy mother, who warned the staff at the school about the danger as well. Her name is Sarah Gonzalez, and she had dropped her daughter off at the school and is driving away as the gunman attempted to shoot her as the vehicles passed. So she turned her vehicle around and went to her daughter's school and started honking and making people know what was going on. So the gunman fired at her as she tried to get out and find her daughter. And there's another guy who, very, very brave guy. His name's Jesse Sanders. And Jesse Sanders tried to draw the gunman's attention away from the school. He said he ran over to the school when he heard the semi-automatic rifle fire. He said, when I got there, the dude was shooting through the windows, and I said, Hey, why don't you shoot this way instead? And the guy did. He shot at Jesse Sanders and hit him in the arm. But what it did was it distracted him from continuing to shoot at the school. Now, back to Sarah Gonzalez, who dropped her daughter off. She said, the teacher told us to go under our desk and keep flat in case he comes inside. And she said the teacher blocked the door with a computer. This is a 10-year-old girl telling the story. I'm sure she's telling it exactly as it happened. They're nothing but truth at that age. And so, thank goodness that the school was able to lock the doors, lock down the school before he got there. But for him to be able to wander around for 6 minutes, it was by just a blessing that he did not get inside. Because the only thing the children could do was lay flat on the floor. Now, if he's shooting at the windows, I get it. You want to be a low profile and get under the desk so the glass doesn't hit you. But blocking a door with a computer? What's a computer weigh? Maybe it's on a table. That doesn't stop somebody if they get inside. School still, I mean, God bless this school and the staff, that what they did, and the fact that they had a couple of minutes warning that somebody went, hey, there's gunfire in the area. Let's lock this school down. But if they hadn't heard that, if he just pulled up to their school before shooting anybody else, he would have been able to go right into the school. And all of the children were trapped in their classrooms. Okay, so they're on the floor. That would not have stopped him. And it sounds like he was trying to do a Newtown. He was trying to do a copycat. He was trying to go kill elementary school children. And the fact that the only option that the teacher had was to block the door with a computer. Do they not have locks? And to my point, I said it yesterday, I'll say it every time I get a chance to. Why don't schools build doors, emergency doors, that kids can get out of the classroom? That there's only one way in and one way out every classroom I was ever in. So as much as this tragically wound up with five people dead plus the shooter and 10 people injured, some of them critically, this is by the grace of God that this wasn't much, much worse. And it was, you can call it God's blessing, you can call it sheer luck, you can call it whatever you want, but this was this close to being a massacre of school children. Nobody in the school could stop him other than put a computer up against the door? Really? It wouldn't make me feel that my children were safe if that was your only line of defense. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. Phone numbers, email address, links to my Twitter, Facebook, podcast, all of that you can find on my website, which is TomSullivan.com.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
All right, so thank goodness the school reacted and locked the doors down, but there still, what bothers me about this is the underlying security or lack thereof, is if they did not have that two-minute warning and somebody had their head screwed on straight and knew what to do, this could have been a massive tragedy. It would not make me feel comfortable knowing that my children are at a school where the only line of defense is to push a computer up against the one and only door in the classroom. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Let's talk to Paul in Gardnerville, Nevada. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Well, I don't live in California. I live in Nevada. But I just don't understand how somebody can have an assault with a deadly weapons charge, be out on bail, the neighbors filed a restraining order against him, and he's still in possession of his firearms? I don't get it. Where I live, in order to even post bail, I'd have to surrender my firearms and surrender my CCW as a condition of bail, and I've seen it happen to people. So
yeah, Nevada is a much more gun-friendly state than California. California is about as tight as you can get on gun policy. So why? I have the exact same question. How did this guy, who's been out on bail after assaulting the neighbor with a deadly weapon and then winds up killing her yesterday and had a restraining order, Are we facing another one of these? The background check, we need to expand the background checks. They're not working as it is. I mean, I'm waiting for more details on exactly, were these guns stolen? How did he get them? But the point is, he had a semi-automatic rifle and at least two pistols, maybe three. How did he do that?
And from the things that I read, the neighbors had been complaining about hearing gunshots at his property.
Yes.
To the local sheriff.
Yes.
So why isn't the sheriff over there going, hey, either give me the weapons you have or I'm taking you to jail?
Well, I'm sorry. I would think that is an automatic. You're coming with us. You know, you are out on parole, or if you will, he's out
on bail.
And I would think that there would be something in the court order about the fact that he yes, the guns had to be part of the court order. Why didn't that's plenty of grounds for the police to go over and say, you're coming with us. You violated your bail order. No,
I don't get
it either. There's no answers. It just is another one. It's another story where you've got somebody that's mentally ill, and the system doesn't work. But the people who rely upon the government system to work are going to be sorely disappointed over and over and over again. More than disappointed, there's dead people because of it. Dead. This woman had a restraining order. How well did that work? I'm with you. Why weren't the police over there with the reports of gunshots from this house? And they had to know it's a small community that this guy is trouble and he's out on bail. I can't imagine any police officer past day one on the force going, that means he's coming with us. He's going back to jail. I'm right there with you.
Somebody
dropped the ball. There are no words. Paul, I do appreciate your call. Brendan, in the San Francisco Bay Area. Hi, Brendan. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good.
Thank you. And first, I just have to say I'm thankful today because my cousin was one of the teachers there, and he has survived, and as well as most of the kids in his class. I think one of them was shot.
Yes.
He was the teacher who shoved the quote-unquote computer. It was actually a heavy computer desk against the door, and then he had all the kids in the school lie flat on the floor. I haven't talked to them. This email came from his brother to a group of people.
Well, and, God bless him. God bless him. It doesn't change, however, my concern that he and the kids were trapped. They were trapped. But
I know, something I'd like to add in is that a few years ago, the state basically allowed teachers who were trained to, and if they had concealed carry permits, to actually have one in the school, and they just basically got rid of that.
Hold on, if I can hold on with just a minute, Brendan, we got to take the break.
He likes it when you talk back, Tom Sullivan.
That's us, and the president is making some comments right now about his trip. He just got back from Asia last night, and so he's got some big announcement, but he hasn't gotten to it yet. We're recording it, and when he gets to that point, we will make sure and play that for you. We may have to play it for you at the top of the hour, but we'll wait for the big announcement, whatever it is. Meantime, we're talking to Brendan in the Bay Area of California, and your cousin was the teacher who pushed a computer up against the door, and you're saying it was it was a big, heavy computer desk, which, again, hats off to the school, hats off to your cousin, but it still worries me, Brendan. Still worries me there's not a better plan.
Well, about 2 years ago, the state legislature decided that they were going to allow qualified teachers to carry weapons in classrooms. And so they had to be trained. They had to have a concealed.
Kind of like the airline pilots. Yeah, kind of like the airline pilots. Okay.
And so last year, Kevin McCarthy introduced a bill, AB 424, that overturned that because the Anderson Union High School District, which was close, actually, to the location where the shooting occurred.
People don't know who these people are. Who is that?
Sure, I'm sorry. Kevin McCarthy. Right?
Who is he?
He basically
who is he?
The assemblyman from
So he's a local official. All right. State. Okay.
Yeah.
And he had the law overturned?
It was signed off by Jerry Brown.
Okay.
He basically introduced a bill into the state, and they basically overturned that. And that was signed off by Jerry Brown. So, you know, now it's illegal to have weapons in there. And his statement, which I think is very interesting, is a safe learning environment is essential for our children. It's not possible if a school district allows armed civilians to roam California school campuses, which criminals are going to roam those campuses regardless of this. They've just removed a method to protect them.
That's what the guy did yesterday for 6 minutes. He roamed the school, shooting at it. Nobody could shoot back at it.
The law that McCarty put out there and that Jerry Brown signed did nothing to protect those children. In fact, it's taken away the one weapon they might have had to help defend them.
I would imagine if somebody shot back at him, he would have run as fast as he could run. But
I agree.
This was
That's
a close
what happened
call
in the church.
Yes.
Anyway,
same
I'm
thing.
Glad my cousin is safe, and I'm glad the rest of the kids are safe. And God bless the kids who have been hurt and the other people who have been killed.
I would love to see. I doubt in California's political environment, even with this, they will scream for more gun laws when they had a law that maybe would have helped that they got rid of. That's amazing.
They didn't enforce it, which is disgusting. I'm shocked. Again and again, we're seeing that these are known wolves, one type or another, and that the government is not enforcing its own laws.
Well,
they have to do this.
And the other, I mean, I'm surprised that the police responded as fast as they did, because it's a pretty rural area. There's a lot of land out there between people, and so the fact that they were able to respond and kill this guy fairly quickly says something. Kudos to the police as well. So everybody did exactly what was needed. But if one part of that chain was broken, it would have changed the whole thing. Well, I thank you. I really appreciate your call and kudos to your cousin as well. Todd, also in California. Todd, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's put Todd on hold and explain how this works. Kevin, Reno, Nevada. Kevin, welcome. Hi. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. What do you think?
Hey, I have a 2-year-old. I'm terrified to send him to school. You know, for some liberals in some states, closing doors and calling 911 is good enough, but that just doesn't cut it for me. I'm just terrified that my son is going to be out there exposed. What happens if the shooter doesn't start shooting until he's inside the school? So there's no time for locking doors, just pushing computers. And you and me know that a fast bullet can go through a computer and a door, no problem.
Sure.
I will feel much better if they implement a program like this. CCW carrier or gun locks in some classrooms that only train personnel that pass a rigorous practical and psychological test twice a year can get access to the gun to protect students. That include handguns and maybe an AR-15 too. Why not?
Why not? Exactly. Like the previous caller, Brendan, was talking about, it reminded me of the laws that changed after 9/11 to allow airline pilots on a volunteer basis to sign up for a federal license where they have to go through exactly what you're talking about, all kinds of psychological profiling and all kinds of handling of gun safety and everything else before they are allowed. But there are a scattering of airline pilots who have guns that they carry in the cockpit in case the cockpit is broken down. So they did it for the airlines. Why can't they do it for the schools? They did it.
Yeah,
and took the law away.
All our kids.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand. The only the only people that carry guns in California is Mexican gangs or really dangerous gangs and people that don't care about the law. Why restrictions on law-abiding citizens? I'm sorry, my friend. Brian don't have his heart on the right place, and God bless his cousin.
Well, this guy was out on bail for assault with a deadly weapon. How did he have guns? How was this possible?
There's no excuse.
No, there isn't.
There's no excuse.
The whole thing.
They have to sue the state or the county. I would.
Well, I don't blame you for being worried. You want your children to be protected. And in today's world, that means somebody in, whether it's your place of business or your school or your airline, somebody somewhere needs to have the ability to fire back. But Todd, thank you. Kevin, thank you. Let's get Todd back here on the line from California. Hi, Todd. You there?
Hey, Tom.
There you are.
Yeah, Tom. How you doing? It's Todd.
Good.
Hey, I'm a retired public safety executive, and I'm just looking at the background checks that we do in so many states, in particular California.
Yeah.
And there is a requirement that you disclose your criminal status. And I had a case last year, or actually a couple of cases last year that were really scary, despite the fact that you're required to disclose this, and despite the fact that the states are supposed to do background checks, what we're seeing is that DOJ, California being one of them, they are so inundated that they're not looking at those background checks, and that felons are still getting their guns.
I thought it was a computer deal. You put in somebody's name and their date of birth and social security number, whatever it might be, and the computer checks the National Crime Information Center and says there's a hit or there's not a hit.
We tell people that when we advertise these things politically, and in some states it's set up like that to where
we've only got 20 seconds. Are you
right
saying that? Okay. Are you saying it doesn't work?
In California, it's a paper document. It gets sent to DOJ. DOJ has a person who enters it into the computer, and if they don't get around to doing it within 10 days, the bad guy gets to go to the store and pick up his gun.
I got to run, but Todd, thank you. I appreciate it.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
All right, so we have a guy who has a record of at least out on bail. See, he wasn't convicted, out on bail. Remember when we were talking about the shooting in Texas, somebody called from law enforcement and said, yeah, when you arrest somebody, it doesn't go into the database until they're convicted. That can take a long time. So here's this guy who was out on bail, charged with assault with a deadly weapon from January, restraining order against him, people hearing gunshots coming from his house, and what happens? What could possibly have gone wrong? Instead, we have 6 people dead, 10 people injured, a crazy guy with a history of violence, multiple weapons at his disposal, in a state that has the toughest gun laws in the nation. You tell me why you wonder why I keep going, I don't see a legislative solution to this. They have legislated all these rules and laws. Not one of them helped in this situation. So that is not the answer, obviously. But there's a lot of you that still want to keep going, well, we need more gun laws. Well, California's written a bunch of them, and it hasn't done a thing. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Tommy, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. How are you today?
Doing great. What you got?
I'm sure that you will get or have got the information that the shooter had a ghost gun which would never show up on any records.
What's a ghost gun?
A ghost gun is a gun that is home-built that has no serial number.
Really?
Yeah, so, they're illegal in California, but there's websites where you can take a billet of steel and with a CNC machine or even a die set, make yourself a receiver for an AR platform type gun.
And then we did some shows on when the news came out a couple of years ago about 3D printing, and somebody did the, hey, look at what I made. I made a 3D printed a gun. And we have a guy who we talk to on an irregular basis from California who is a gun manufacturer. He has a machine shop. And he called me and said, you may be able to shoot one bullet, but it'll probably go astray. You know, making a gun is harder than you think. It is precision machining. So that's what you, where did you hear that this guy had a ghost gun? Because he had, according to the latest reports, he had two pistols and a rifle. They're saying it's an AR,
rifle,
but who knows?
The rifle is the ghost gun. From what I've heard,
how did he get the pistols?
That I'm not sure. All I know is that the gun that he was using primarily for his shooting at the school was the rifle, and the rifle was a ghost gun. There's no record of it. But the whole thing is, with law enforcement and him being out on bail for the gun charge or a deadly weapon, once they heard gunshots coming from his property, that's reasonable cause to come in and search the property for guns.
Yeah, here's what the sheriff says, is that police went to his home several times, because of neighbors saying that he was shooting guns, but they did not witness him with the weapon. So it must be one of those rules that says, okay, you got to witness it. But I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're out on bail. You got to be kidding me. I think somebody dropped the ball on this guy. They should have brought him in.
Well, also the neighbors should have, you know, everybody's got a cell phone. Every cell phone's got a recorder. Record it. Show the cops.
I'm just looking at a story.
Everything's right there.
I'm just looking at a story from ABC News that verifies what you're talking. Says that this is the assistant sheriff, Phil Johnston, says that the shooter had two homemade semi-automatic weapons and two handguns registered in someone else's name. So did somebody give them to him? Did he steal them? But homemade semi-automatic weapons.
Yes. And it's easily made.
See, Tommy, you're way above me on this, because I thought it was...
We're not talking plastic. We're talking billet steel.
I just thought it took steel.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's crazy, but he was skilled at making guns.
True. But, it comes back down to, the neighbors, if the cops said, well, we can't do anything because we didn't witness it, record it. Now you've got a copy. Now you've got timestamp. You've got GPS location on your phone. Every phone does it now.
The other thing, and I know this sounds silly, but there are such things as citizen's arrest, and you call the cops, and the cops come over, and you say, I am willing to sign an arrest warrant for that guy, and I saw it, so I am more than willing to press charges against the guy. I don't know why they didn't do that.
Look at the gal that got the restraining order after he got bailed out the first time.
Yeah.
What's going to keep him in? What's going to keep you from getting shot?
Well, obviously, it did not. Yeah, so this is another angle, Tommy. I'm glad you called, because I had not heard about this homemade semi-automatic rifles. That's to another realm of how you're going to stop that. You're right. They're not on any database. Tommy, thank you very much. New information there. Let's talk to Kelly, who is a local reporter in Redding, California. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I just wanted to elaborate on that additional information because our station, the ABC affiliate in Reading, which is the TV market where Red Bluff and Rancho Tejama are, we just covered that news conference where the assistant sheriff went into more detail about what you're talking about, saying that he was armed with two semi-automatic rifles that were manufactured illegally at home. They were not legally purchased, and they both had multi-round clips. In addition, one of the things that Assistant Sheriff Johnson went into at the news conference was that they had set up surveillance on two occasions due to reports from neighbors about shots being fired from this home because they knew he was not friendly to law enforcement based upon the previous encounters they've had with him. So they put the place under surveillance two separate times, but apparently he was wise to them and would never answer the door. And them knowing he wasn't friendly to law enforcement, they didn't feel like they had the authority to go on his property. So that's where the crux
Interesting.
Came on. At what point did you go onto his property?
Interesting. Yeah, there's much more to come out of this. And Kelly, you know as well as anybody, we have to pay the bills, so I've got a hard break coming up. But that opens up another whole realm about guns and gun control. If somebody can make them at home, he may be crazy, but apparently he was clever, smart. Kelly, thank you. I appreciate your call.